aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a bird cage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Nucky Grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
All right, so I'm off today, so there's no 7 at 11 mystery guest calling in. But
makes sense.
But we have a little bit of a game that I want to throw out there for you. So the premise is, and maybe we come up with a bet and we can pay it off at the end.
Oh, we're also, because we're so great at paying off bets on Sunday Karma.
Exactly.
I mean, Kyle is getting a Brazilian wax tomorrow. I don't know if you know.
I heard about that.
Hey, is that work related?
Not that I'm aware of,
no.
Are you sure it was for a donation, Craig, so I could get it? Is that work-related? Is that a write-off?
A donation to what?
To the Mac Fund. Tell them, Greg.
No, but that's not. I mean, that's not.
You were the one that decided to offer up a Brazilian wax.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, though.
Dang, Ben Bruss. That's keep throwing my money in different places.
That's very philanthropic of you. I like that. So here's my idea. Now, I don't think I can pick the Bucks series, but my thought was we pick every NBA series on this show, and including the play-in games, and it's 1 point if you get the team right. It's 3 points if you get the amount of games right. And winner gets something, loser gets something.
You ready to track all this, Kyle?
Where are the interns at? I'm gonna do it, and
this? I'll track it.
No, I'm gonna sign it to the intern.
No, I'm tracking.
No, I'm gonna sign it to an intern. Sure they get their money's worth.
Nope. Interns make too much money here these days. They make more per hour than I do at this point.
That's the truth.
So let's. All right. Let's. Okay. I'm setting it up here, and so right now there's not a lot that's set because of the play-ins, all that. But let's.
There's a lot that's set.
Not a lot. There's literally only the two play-in matches and the two Eastern Conference matchups.
I guess that's true.
So there's only four total matchups.
So we'll play it as if it is right now, though.
So we'll play it as it is now. Yep. We'll let Strophy get in, even though he's not here now. And then a week from now, we'll make our picks. It could already be 1-0 in a series, whatever, but we just go from that point.
So we're making our picks next week.
Making our picks now of what we can make picks on, and then we'll make picks next week.
Well, this isn't going to work very well because Strofe is out today. I'm out next week. You know,
We'll get those picks in. Yeah, we'll get those picks for the people. Right. Is next week the week we're all off?
No, that would be the 27th of April.
Okay.
It will be... who knows?
But that week's going to be tough for us when all four of us are off. But by then, all the series will have started. So it's actually it actually works well. So let's start off in, I guess, so let's just go 70 miles from here, right? Is that about where we go, to Chicago?
Yep.
Where the Chicago Bulls are hosting the Miami Heat. Kyle, what do you like in that game?
Latino Heat.
Okay, Heat on the road, get the win. All right, Greg, who do you got?
Yeah, I'll take the Heat as well. It's also like, this is where I struggle with the play-ins. The idea that you have Chicago and Miami that are even possible in this scenario is a shame.
I'll go with the Bulls.
Do they even want to win?
Of course they want to win.
I look at the Western Conference. Do the Mavericks really want to make the playoffs?
Yeah, they might be a different story.
They definitely do. After you make, I mean, Anthony Davis wouldn't have come back. Anthony Davis, they could have shut him down easily. He's still not even fully healthy.
I think Mavericks fans don't want them to make the playoffs.
Yes, don't want them to win. I don't. I don't know what Maverick fan at this point. Maverick,
I think Maverick fans
want
to see this blow up because like a self-destructive tendency.
All right, ooh, Craig, you probably know what's going on inside down there.
Strophy also says the Bulls. He texts into our group chat that Strophy wants the Bulls.
Two
all right.
Heat, two
wait,
Bulls.
Isn't he supposed to be at a phone-a-thon? What is he doing?
Maybe he's listening on the AirPods. All right, so that sets up. That sets up. Well, let's go to the 7-8 matchup. The Orlando Magic host the Atlanta Hawks. Scouts, you could start there.
I'm all over the Magic on that. I'll take Orlando.
All right.
I'm with him on that one. Most beautiful, most wonderful place, or what do they call it? The most happy,
magical?
Yeah, magical place in the world.
Hence the magic. Yeah. Magical. Disney. <Yeah. laughs>
The Magic Kingdom, the Orlando Magic. Yeah. Wow. It's good. All right. Wow, this one's tough for me. I will go with the Magic as well. I think at home, I think they're a good defensive team when they're locked in.
Stroke's going to fade us.
They're healthy,
I guarantee you.
Healthier than they've been. Strophy has not dropped his pick in. So now do we pick? I think we pick the third game. And if your team's not there, then you don't have a chance to get it done. So now, Greg, for you, that would be the Miami Heat against the Atlanta Hawks. That game would be played in Atlanta. Who you got?
I will take the Hawks over the Heat in Atlanta.
Hawks over the Heat in Atlanta over to Kyle, who has... No, the Hawks... Sorry, the Hawks would be playing the sorry, no.
I thought they played the Magic.
That...
Well, the Hawks...
Yeah, the Hawks would be playing... Yep, the Hawks would be playing the Heat.
In
your scenario.
In my scenario,
and
I will take the Hawks.
And in yours as well, Kyle.
Got it.
So the Hawks, after losing in the 7-8, would then host... The
winner of the 9-10,
which would be which you would be having hosting them, the Heat, who had won, yep. And the Bulls would have been eliminated. Yep. Who you got?
Hawks.
All right. So I have the Bulls having won and them going to Atlanta. Bulls have been on a magical run. I say it ends there. I'll also put the Hawks in as the 8 seed. So then Strophy also went with the Magic. So we were unanimous there. So the Magic are the 7 seed in all of ours, which would be facing the 2 seed, which is the Boston Celtics. Strophy on his final selection has not made it yet, but we'll come back to that. All right, let's go quick. We have the 4-5, the 3-6 matchup, the Knicks hosting the Detroit Pistons, who we saw. Greg, we need team and amount of games. Remember, the Pistons won 3 out of 4 against the Knicks this year.
I'll take the Knicks in 6.
Knicks 6. Kyle?
I don't need to say how many games.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
you get
what he's
three
saying.
Points.
You get 3 points
you
if you get the amount of games.
You get the games.
Oh, okay.
1 point if you get the team, 3 if you get the games.
Well, I'm going to go with the Knicks in 5.
Knicks in... So, after they lose 3 out of 4 to the Pistons, you think they just rock them like that?
I don't think that the Pistons will have enough. They don't have enough experience, and I just don't think they'll be able to have enough firepower to keep up. Even
not
though
a,
the Knicks
not
aren't
a Cade guy,
good.
Huh?
I like Cade, but I don't know. Cade can't put a team on his back right now.
Yeah, I think with I'm kind of with you guys. I think the Pistons are going to put a scare into them, win one of the games on the Knicks home court. But I'm feeling a little Knicks in 6 also there. And then Alex will get his final selection. Greg, who you got? Bucks and the Pacers.
I will take the Bucks in 7.
So you're saying they're winning in Indiana on the road in a game 7. I love it.
In my secondary, next I would take like Bucks in 6 or Bucks in 5. I just think they're going to win this series against the Pacers.
Bucks in 5.
I think Giannis is just in beast mode right now.
All right, Kyle.
Bucks in 6. Bucks in 6. I feel like the Bucks are going to be up 3-2. They got to win it at home, and they will.
Strophy says Knicks in 6 and Bucks in 6.
He also said Bucks in 6, baby.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm allowed to predict, but I think I'm allowed to say Bucks in 6. So
okay.
I'm just saying I could say Bucks and 6.
Bucks in 6.
Yes.
Bucks in 6. We're just chanting.
Yes, exactly.
That's all it is. You got to chant with us when we chant, Craig.
There's a lot of good stuff coming up. We got to talk real quick, though, about the Brewers last night. Were you guys watching?
We were. We talked a little bit about it before. We also talked about it in the context of Jackson Chourio and how I think he's going to be the next Wisconsin MVP. 14-game hit streak, hit his 5th home run last night. OPS in 966 right now. 21 years old.
Were you talking about Trevor Megill? Had only pitched once in a week.
We'll talk about it next. Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Who says he's not one of the best producers of the business? As Craig Karmazin gets up to run across to the Baird Center for his daughter's dance competition, we've got some Shakira on the horn right now. Well done, Kyle. Well done.
It's because of the dancing.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's why I was inspired to do it.
I gave you credit. Just take it. Don't act like you didn't do it on purpose.
I usually take things when people do it, but I'm like, oh, wow.
It's subconscious, however it works.
It probably was.
Maybe Craig Karmazin comes back. Maybe he doesn't. Craig Scalzo, Kyle Wallace here with you. Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. We're going to have to get out here, kind of short for quite a day on ESPN Madison, as we've got Bucks basketball going into Brewers baseball on ESPN Madison. We'll be here until noon coming up on ESPN Milwaukee and Beaver Dam. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-ESPN. That is the Carbless talk and text line, where earlier we were asking who's going to be the next MVP in Wisconsin. Dave from Aaron chimes in, says Churio could be the next MVP in Wisconsin if he doesn't get traded too early. I think the Brewers handled the Jackson Churio contract as well as any team in baseball can handle any young star's contract, right? And I know a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, oh, well, that's what the Brewers had to do, because they're not going to be able to afford him if he all of a sudden becomes an MVP. No, that's not just the Brewers. That's what all smart organizations are doing when it comes to these young top prospects. And sometimes the team gets burned and they give $80 million to a guy that's never played in the MLB and that guy doesn't turn out to be an MVP caliber talent. And sometimes it works out well for the team. And right now it looks like this is going to work out well for the team, but it's not just small market teams that do it. We've seen the Braves do it. We've seen the Padres do it, who spent a lot of money. We see the Red Sox doing it as they went and signed Christian Campbell to a $70 million contract. And the Red Sox, obviously thought of as one of the top big markets in baseball there. So not my concern. I think Jackson Churio will win an MVP in Milwaukee. And I think Brewers fans should be happy and celebrate when the Brewers do things the right way and the smart way, as opposed to being, ultimately negative about the constructs of Major League Baseball.
We're waiting. Why are we talking about things that are so many years away from this? They did right by him. This is a win-win for both. He doesn't have to get paid pennies.
Yep.
And then, the Brewers get to lock in a guy that they believed in, and he's showing, why they should believe in him. This should be a great thing that I believe he signed, was it a 7 or 8 year contract?
I think it was an 8 year contract.
So really, you get 6 years plus two. Yep. Like, that's a win-win. So if we get to year seven and something happens, me and Greg will be over the hill.
We'll be over the hill. That's right, Kyle. Unfortunately, that is true. But Jackson Churio, again, off to an incredibly hot start. Brewers, heartbreaker last night, going to the ninth inning, up 4-0. They give up 5 in the ninth. Trevor McGill, they take him out and don't start him in the ninth, I should say. Don't start him in the ninth inning, although they ultimately should have, because it wasn't a traditional save opportunity. He had pitched once in the last week. I think there's some criticism that you could possibly throw at the defending manager of the year and Pat Murphy for saying, why not just bring him in up 4-0 and just get him on there and give your team the best chance to win. But I'm not going to complain too much about the manager. I'm not going to complain at all about the GM. I'm not going to complain about what the Brewers are doing, because they're doing what needs to be done ultimately to put themselves in a position to win in the division this year. They're back at it in Arizona today. That's a 3:10 first pitch. You can hear on 620 WTMJ if you're in Milwaukee, or of course on 100.5 ESPN Madison if you are on in Madison. So we will leave Madison now. You'll get Bucks basketball. Kyle Wallace planning on being there in attendance, so you know it's a big game because Kyle only goes to the big games.
Yes, sir.
So we'll get that here. Kyle and I will come back. We'll talk a little Packers football since we didn't get too much of that with Jason Wilde. Talk a little bit about some of the pass catching situation, of course, Bucks and Brewers as well. And we'll see if Craig Karmazin ever comes back. We'll be back Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I get it down on the dance floor. Watch this. Hey! You don't even know, girl. Come here.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Craig Karmazin, Alex Stroh out today. Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace with you on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. The Carbless Talk and Text line is open. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-ESPN. 37-76. A lot of conversation around Brewers. 8-7. One game back of the Cubs. I know it's a little early to be tracking divisional results, but for the decimated pitching rotation they have, putting themselves in a good spot here as we approach the midway mark in April. The Bucks riding high on a 7-game win streak, coming off of another impressive win yesterday against Detroit. They're back at it today against the Pistons. Giannis
closeout game,
4 triple doubles in the last 5 games, as they get ready to take on the Pacers in the playoffs coming up in about 9-10 days. But the Packers are the one team we really haven't talked much about. Draft 11 days away. We did talk with Jason Wilde last hour. He mentioned their ultimate focus on bringing a pass rusher into the organization and focusing on defensive line of that front 7. That aligns with what, you know, Field Yates talked about in his latest mock draft, which ultimately had them picking Michael Williams, the edge out of Georgia, and mentioned, you know, really them focusing on that top, on that front 7. Meanwhile, when you look at, you know, the NFL Nation and what some of the reporting is there, talking about the Packers, will they take a wide receiver in the first round, given their trend of not doing that? Ultimately, it's being reported that one scout talked about the Packers focusing on adding defensive players for Jeff Hafley's scheme in the early rounds and drafting a cornerback potentially in round 1 and a defensive tackle in the second round before then looking for a receiver later on. So it feels like there's all these different possibilities, but the Packers don't feel like they are a contender to the point to which they could ultimately take best player available, which is the organizational philosophy that every team wants to get to.
So they claim. It seems like the receiver is never the best player available on the board, and it seems like it's always a defensive player 9 times out of 10.
So ultimately, Kyle Wallace, as one of the Packer backers we have on this station, as you talk about on KBN, weekdays 2 to 5 across ESPN Wisconsin, do you think that they need to prioritize either somebody in the front 7, somebody in the defensive backfield, an offensive lineman, a pass catcher, or do they truly take best player available? Because it feels like they've got a lot more holes than maybe we want to give it credit for. And I don't think it's holes necessarily, like any of these groups are really, really bad. It just doesn't feel like any of these units are really, really good.
Yeah, they're not elite, right? You want to have elite, some type of elite position group at, you know, whether it's cornerback, whether it's defensive line, or whether it is at wide receiver. You saw what an elite running back can do for you. You saw how nasty that ground game was for the Green Bay Packers after moving on from an Aaron Jones who not only was loved off the field, but also loved by his teammates on the field as well. But I really think the Green Bay Packers, if there's a position that I think they need to prioritize, it's the wide receiver position. I mean, it has been in too long. Too many years since the Green Bay Packers had a 1,000-yard wide receiver. And let's just be honest. We have not given Jordan Love all the pieces possible for him to be successful. When Aaron Rodgers walked in that door at quarterback, he had some dudes around him. He had a guy in a Greg Jennings. He had a guy in a Donald Driver. Yeah, man. And he had good wide receiver threats. Matter of fact, his first year as a starter, I believe, had two wide receivers that had 1,000 yards receiving. Jordan Love ain't got that even on the roster. And so when I look at an area they can upgrade, if you add an explosive, dynamic, number one wide receiver to this offense, that changes everything. You added the interior with the offensive line that you made it better. You had a good offensive line last year, but now you upgraded that. You already have a bruising rushing attack. Now you have an emerging tight end with Tucker Kraft. We think Luke Musgrave can do something if he's healthy. You're just missing one piece on the offense, and that is a number one wide receiver. This offense did more with less last year. They're one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL last year. If you add a guy like a wide receiver that can be a true number one, somebody that you don't just have a Christian Watson who can, he can take the top off. No, a dude who can take the top off, a dude who can run a hitch and take it for 80 yards for a touchdown. The Packers do not have that guy. But if they draft somebody like that, that changes what this offense is and what they can do in the 2025 season. They're talking about, is a tight end going to be the number one? Going to run through two tight end sets? Come on now, man. This ain't 2001 or 1998. This ain't
you don't
got to
go that
offense.
Far back. I mean, you could look at what Tom Brady did with two tight ends in the early 2010s.
Man, that's Tom Brady, though.
Okay. Well,
I mean, they had some studs.
So that's part of my question is, you know, a lot of times we talk about great quarterbacks, right? Elite level quarterbacks making their wide receivers great. And you could look back at those early 2010 Green Bay Packers teams and saying, yeah, Rodgers inherited, Donald Driver, right? He inherited Greg Jennings, but he helped make Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams into elite number one guys. Now, I'm not saying that Jordan Love hasn't done that yet because it's early.
Well,
not Jordy, right? I mean, he grew with Rodgers, not Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb with Rodgers.
It's all second round picks at wide receiver, though.
I agree, but I mean, so was Jaden Reed, right?
That's it.
Jaden Reed was a second round pick.
That's it. So, I guess Christian Watson too. He's not healthy, but I mean.
So ultimately, can Jordan Love? Are you confident that he could turn a second round pick into an elite wide receiver? Right? Can he turn Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave into elite level tight ends? Now, I don't think Tucker Kraft. Just to set some expectations, I think it's if you're thinking Tucker Kraft is going to be the next coming of Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski, I think you have another thing coming. I think if you talk about his ceiling as George Kittle, I think that's fair, right? And George Kittle's a borderline all pro, right?
Really
like
good.
Tight end.
Really
like, I'm
good.
Not saying, but when you look at the other guys, the true number one weapons in their offense, Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce are probably two of the four best pass catching tight ends in the history of the NFL. Right? You've got those two. You've got Tony Gonzalez. You've got Antonio Gates, right? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody.
Now you hit
like
hit
those
studs,
are the four true number one, you know, pass catching options at tight ends for really great offenses. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if it needs to be in the first round as a wide receiver, but I do think that if you're the Packers and you didn't do anything to bolster the pass catching, I'm not going to, Mecole Hardman, he's a special teams guy. you need something there at the top end of the draft, I think, for you to give confidence to a young quarterback, knowing that Christian Watson, just count him out for the year. The inconsistency of Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks, and to a certain degree, Jaden Reed, who kind of disappeared.
He disappeared. You're right. He was magical, as we talked about the Orlando Magic, as he poof disappeared.
You need somebody. You need something from a pass catching standpoint. But what does that take away from? And does that take away from the opportunity to bolster the defense?
Don't listen. He had his chance to bolster the defense. When you look at the defensive line, you realize not only has he invested money in the defensive line as the when you look at the position group, I mean, going into last season, that's the highest paid position group outside of quarterback. But then you talk about Devontae Wyatt, a first-round pick, Rashawn Gary, a first-round pick, Lucas Van Ness, a first-round pick, Clinny Clark, a first-round pick. All these dudes are first-round picks.
Quay Walker, first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I was talking D-line, but yeah, Quay Walker. I mean, the defense has a lot of first-round pick investment. And you miss more than you hit, unfortunately, in the first round with those defensive players. That is the problem that the Green Bay Packers have. It's not that they haven't invested in a D-line. It's the fact that they have not hit at a good enough rate for the defense to be dominant. When you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did, their interior is two first-round picks on the defensive line there. But Green Bay Packers, They have first-round picks. They just are not performing at the level that you expected them to, and that is the problem. That's why we're sitting here looking at the 2025 draft and saying, well, are they going to go D-line again? Like, my goodness, how many times do you get to swing and miss until you're out?
Apparently plenty, because they keep on doing it. And offensive line feels really solid to me right now. Right, Kyle? You've got the depth.
Good. They're good.
You got Jordan Morgan. You bring in Banks. Like, you've got a solid offensive line. You feel solid about that tight end position. We know what quarterback is. That's an embarrassment of riches right now with a good backup quarterback and Malik Willis as well. I'm kind of with you. You need to, at least in those first two rounds, do something to try to bring in another pass-catching option and give Jordan Love the opportunity to be what you think and what a lot of Packers fans think Jordan Love can ultimately be. I just don't have confidence that the Packers are going to do it. I can see him focusing more on the back end of that defense, bringing in somebody else at that cornerback position, bringing somebody else in from a pass-rushing standpoint, and then maybe adding somebody in that third, fourth, fifth round at that wide receiver position.
That's
where
doing a disservice to your million, $55 million man. Obviously, you got to pay him this money, but at what point are you going to surround him with the talent for him to win a championship? Because right now, if you look at Jaden Reed, and you look at Tay Wicks, and you look at Romeo Doubs and saying, yeah, that's a championship wide receiver room right now, then you're on some type of drugs. Because there's no way you look at that team, no way you look at that room and you think that that is a championship room. That is a playoff room. That is not a Super Bowl contending room. So Goody, it is his responsibility to build that into that. We've had enough time. Listen, I'm a fan of Romeo Doubs, but Romeo, he's had 4 years. Like, this is a make-it-or-break season for him. Christian Watson, even if he didn't get hurt, this still would have been a make-or-break season for him. We have too many guys that were given way too much time to say, okay, well, let's develop him, let's develop him. No, you get 2 years. If you ain't on the Tucker Kraft path, I don't want you. If you ain't on the Jaden Reed path, I don't want you. You get 2 seasons to show me that you have the potential. After that, go ahead and draft somebody else and move on, because what we've seen with the Green Bay Packers is how many guys did it take 2 to 3 years for them to pop? Usually you see sparks. Edrin Cooper, you saw sparks right away.
No,
Evan
I tend
Williams,
to agree.
Right away.
I don't understand where people would have confidence in somebody like Lucas Van Ness right now. Like, he's somebody where I look at, right? Him and Devontae Wyatt are the two that I really look at and say, what exactly are the Packers doing here? And I think if they go back into that front seven, right, I believe in people communicating through actions far more than communicating through words, then they're telling us. Goody's telling you, if he takes somebody in the front seven of defense, that he doesn't believe in the guys they currently have in the roster.
Well, he shouldn't believe in himself, though.
What?
Because he brought them. He didn't draft Kenny Clark. He drafted everybody else on that front seven.
Sure, but he also gave Kenny Clark a big old contract that he hasn't lived up to.
Which I still don't understand why they gave Kenny Clark that contract. Kenny Clark, you have a rule where you literally never give third contracts. You don't like paying guys who are over 30, and you did it. You broke your own rule, Goody.
Feels to me like this team right now is a little bit rudderless on their identity. What is the identity of the Green Bay Packers? Are they a hard-nosed defensive team that's going to smother you with great defense? Are they a run-first team that's going to run it down your throat and dominate you physically? Are they a high-flying offense where they can come back and put up points at any point? Like, what are they? And it doesn't feel to me like Goody's on the same page as Matt LaFleur as far as what exactly are we, even defensively. Are we going to get out to the quarterback and play man? Are we going to sit back and be a bend but don't break zone sort of defense? Offensively, are you going to just pound the rock with Josh Jacobs and then hopefully Jordan Love can get first downs when he needs to? Are you a team that Jordan Love's going to be able to throw the deep ball? Like, what are they right now? It doesn't seem like we know.
One thing I will say is I was talking about on Kyle Brust and Norman this week is I think that Goody is trying to build a team that has a little tenacity. And I'm excited about the offensive line because the three guys in the middle if Sean Ryan does start, I believe that they play with a little bit of edge, right? Aaron Banks talks about, taking another man and taking the will away from him and putting him on his backside. Like, that's the mentality that he has snap after snap. We know what Jenkins is. Elton Jenkins is a guy that he's not afraid to get into it a little bit with people. He's gotten some personal foul penalties, right? And Sean Ryan, he's a fighter. And so I like that mentality. You add that with Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft, I think offensively the mentality is we want to be some headbusters, which I actually like that. But even if you are headbusters, meatheads don't really win championships nowadays. You got to have some finesse dude on the outside or a pretty boy wide receiver that gets money. So I do think the Packers are trying to change their identity. Defensively, they play with swag. Now they got to have some more talent on that defensive line. Offensively, I see this being a team that they're going to try to run through people's faces. I really do. I think they're going to be on a tough, gritty team. Even Tucker Kraft talking about, like, you know, he joined ESPN Madison and said, I'm unmesswittable. Like, that's the mentality I want. I don't want to repeat what he said because I don't want to mess it up.
Speaking of the mentality and the attitude, did you see the John Gruden speech to the Badger football team yesterday?
I started watching it, then I stopped because I'm like, I don't even want to have anything that gets me excited about this Badger football team.
How? Why not? You don't want to get excited.
Excited to go win five games?
They're going to win more than five games. We did this last week.
Six games.
Let's
maybe
try to pull it up. I want to play some of it when we come back for break. We'll take a break here. I want to talk a little bit about the John Gruden talking to the Badger football team thing because I know John Gruden, right? You could talk a little bit about what happened in the past in the NFL and what's kept him out of the NFL and all that. That man talking about football, that's going to fire some people up, and I think that'll fire some people on the Badgers up. I hope so, at least. I hope so. Give that Badger football team, Badger fan base some life. We'll talk about it next. Sunday Karma all across ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma, no Craig Karmazin, no Alex Troff, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace here with you, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. That's the number to get in to the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Carbless List is more. Actually, yesterday I was at a kid's birthday party with your co-host, Ben Brost. Ben Brost, of course, drinking, enjoying some Carbless, naturally. And we get close to, we get close to the time when it's the kid's birthday. You know, you do the whole celebration, right? You do the cake. You bring out the cake, and the parents are there to do the blow out the candles and cut the cake and the whole deal. Well, Ben, you know how needy Ben is, right?
Extremely needy, and he loves attention.
So, Ben, as they're getting ready to bring the cake out, they're doing the whole song and dance. He's asking the father of the kid, hey, I need some paper towels. Can you go run and get me some paper towels?
You a lie.
So the father's like running around doing Ben's bidding while the cake comes out for the kid. And
so wait, the dad missed some of his kids getting the cake because of Ben?
Because of Ben, man. Because of Ben Bruss, you know, right there. So
why do we allow this?
I don't know. But, you know, he made sure he got his Carbless in there. I do want to hit, I know I mentioned it last, and shout out to Kyle Wallace for getting this video up as well on our YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. But we mentioned it last segment. This got me fired up. I know you don't want to be excited for Badger football, Kyle, but I am excited for Badger football. I believe in Luke Fickell. I believe in what the Badgers are building. Not everybody gets to see the end product when the sausage is being made, but they're making something down there. And Madison and John Gruden joined Barstool Big Cat at the Badgers practice facility. This was John Gruden talking to the team.
It's froze.
Oh, all right. We'll get it. We'll get it back there.
I'll get it back going. Dang it.
Back there.
There it is.
He's the brains. I don't want to be a long time, but I travel around the country. I have an office. All I do is study film, and I love football. I've seen some things. I'd like to just give you four quick observations. Would you like it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, number one, everybody has dreams. I mean, everybody's got dreams of winning the Big Ten, getting in the playoffs, getting a new NIL deal. Everybody has what? Dreams. I'm into nightmares. You guys got to end people's dreams. You understand that? Miami, Ohio's coming in here in a couple months. You end their dreams. Okay? And then you get on with the schedule. But everybody's got dreams. Now, it's your job to end those dreams and become a nightmare coming out of the tunnel. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number two.
There it is. I love that. You know, everybody's got dreams. It's your job to make it into a nightmare. That doesn't get you fired up for Badger football, Kyle?
No, because
wet blanket.
I used to have dreams of Badger football upsetting Ohio State, and those dreams became nightmares. I used to have dreams of Wisconsin upsetting Penn State, and those became nightmares. Well, not even upsetting, beating Penn State. You know, Greg, I used to have, you know, a reality, not a dream. It used to be a reality. The Badgers winning, you know, the axe. But all of a sudden, now Minnesota has become we lost to Nebraska. We were living a nightmare last year. They smoked us. Smoked us. I'm just living in it. Why should I be optimistic? We got smoked in those games last year. We didn't even compete.
That was 2024. 2025 is a new year. Speaking of dreams, speaking of nightmares, Rory McIlroy trying to live his dream and prevent the nightmares. He's had so many of those throughout his career. That Master Sunday, this is time for our Palermo's Picks. Shout out to Palermo. Stop in and save at Festival Foods on Screaming Sicilian Tavern Style Pizza, just $5.99. That's limited time only until April 15th. That's right now through April 15th at your local Festival Foods or Sendik Screaming Sicilian Tavern Style Pizzas, just $5.99. Everybody loves their Screaming Sicilian's pizzas. Everybody needs that. There's no better way to be spending your Master Sunday than with a Screaming Sicilian pizza inside of the oven. Jam Nance on the television, golf on your TV, the sun shining on a beautiful April day here in Wisconsin. Go check it out with Palermo's Pizza.
So you said Rory has a chance to win. He's up.
Rory's leading right now.
He already took the course?
No, he's 12 under. He'll tee off at about 130 with Bryson DeChambeau, who's about 10 under.
Oh, I love it. These are two guys who both haven't won a Masters before, correct?
Bryson has won a Masters, I believe. Am I wrong about that? Somebody will, I'm pretty sure he's won.
I like Bryson.
He has not won the Masters. He has not won. He's two-time U.S. Open champion. So, yes, the potential of both Rory and Bryson being first-time winners at the Masters. Corey Connors, Patrick Reed right behind them.
Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, 6 under.
I heard he's controversial.
He
cheats.
I don't know if he cheats.
No, they said he cheats. He's been cheating since college.
There's a lot of people who don't like Patrick Reed. A lot of people who don't like Bryson DeChambeau.
I like Bryson. They don't like him because of the fact that he went to Liv. Liv, Liv, Liv.
You're a Liv guy?
Oh, yeah. I like a little bit of ruffle of feathers. I like that. You know, throw a little mix in there.
And a Canadian and Corey Connors sitting at 8 under. And
boo!
USA.
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 USA. Meanwhile, we're just talking about Rory McIlroy.
Do you want to see Rory get it done?
I do. I do. I think that's something. Has he won every other one?
This would make it a career grand slam for Rory McIlroy.
No, he's good enough. I shouldn't say not living up to the hype. I mean, I think he's lived up to the hype. It's just everybody thought he was going to be the next Tiger. Didn't work out that way, but he's fantastic. So
I actually don't want Rory to win. And
dang,
this sounds
why
mean.
Is that?
This sounds mean. But the man won the U.S. Open in 11, right? He won the PGA Championship in 12 and 14. He won the Open Championship in 14. And it's been 10 years, right? And that quest for a Masters
Since he won a major, it's been 10 years?
Yeah.
What? Time flies.
And Rory, ultimately, I think, is a more compelling character being that tortured soul right now going for it.
That is evil. That's what Phil Mickelson struggled with for a while.
I know. That's what makes it great. It's a great storyline for him to continue to strive for it. If he breaks down and if he fails to win the Masters and chokes like he's done so many other times throughout his career, it makes it so much more entertaining.
Sergio Garcia was that. Let's not put that on Rory McIlroy either.
I'm Bryson. Let's go, Bryson.
I mean, I ain't mad at it. Live, baby, live. Fight the man. Fight against the power.
We'll be back next week. I won't be, but I think you'll get Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroff, and Craig Karmazin here next week. Hopefully, the Bucks still haven't lost a game. Hopefully, they keep up their winning streak. And, of course, the Brewers stay above 500. That's all we need for the month of April. Just stay above 500, and we will be good for the rest of the season as that team gets healthy. I forget what Craig says at the end of every show. But,
stay together, stay healthy, stay survive.
Thrive today, thrive tomorrow. We'll be back next week. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
Peace out.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.